Chapter 4. The four members of the freshly minted Inferno Squad stood together silently in the lift as it hummed upward. The awkwardness of the meeting only exacerbated by the task set before them. Finally, Miko, who stood beside Sen, leaned toward her and asked quietly, "Are we being recorded in the lift?"
"Images only in this one," Sen replied. "Hotel security needs to know who enters and exits the building, but there are lots of secrets discussed in this lift that people don't want overheard."
He nodded, brow furrowed in consideration, then said, "Well then, given our assignment, anyone else think Hot Seat Squad would be a better name than Inferno?" Everyone stood frozen, mouths slightly open. The moment stretched on. Sen shifted position. Del cleared his throat.
"Sorry," he said. "Just trying to lighten the mood."
More silence. Then Gideon gave a single, very slight, snort of laughter. Aiden was not in a mirthful mood. But at another time, she might have joined Gideon because it was absolutely, positively true. Her father loved to put everyone, especially his only child, in the hot seat whenever he could possibly do so. Gideon had stayed here the previous evening, so he didn't bat an eye at the fact that their suite amounted to an entire floor and that there was a guard posted at the door. Aiden took it in stride as well, but the other two members of Inferno Squad seemed surprised. Miko, who'd worked his way through the ranks, looked uncomfortable at what clearly struck him as lavish quarters. For her part, Aiden had simply hoped their room would be located at one of the uppermost levels above the cloud layer, where the sun would set peacefully and the night would be untroubled by activity at all hours. But they had no such luck.
"Aiden, isn't this your mother's work?"
Gideon asked, indicating the posters. Aiden knew her old friend meant no harm, but inwardly she winced, especially as there was a print of "Young Imperials Can Reach the Stars." The other two already knew her father was Admiral Garrick Versio, their commanding officer. They didn't really need to know that her mother was someone significant, too. She wanted this unit almost desperately, but she wanted to earn it. She didn't want anyone to think nepotism was alive and well in the Versio family.
"I think so," Aiden said, trying to sound nonchalant.
Morana looked impressed and peered again at the signature.
"I have to say," Del said, shaking his head, "these are by far the nicest quarters I've ever seen. Too bad we can't relax and enjoy."
"No," Aiden snapped, more sharply than she had intended. "We've all got quite a lot of work to do tonight, and we should get going on it."
"Of course, you're right, Lieutenant," Del said formally. "Are these rooms assigned?"
"I was here last night and I took that one," Gideon said, pointing to the door on the far left. "But I don't mind moving if need be."
He turned to Aiden.
"Lieutenant?"
Aiden regretted shutting Miko down. She was irritated with the situation, not with him. In fact, she was quietly grateful that he had redirected attention from the boldly colored art adorning the walls.
"No, that won't be necessary. Everyone just pick whichever one you'd like."
She headed for the one nearest her, looking around as the doors hissed open. The bed looked comfortable, but Aiden didn't miss the fact that it had been made with perfect precision corners, and she found herself smiling. Even when occupying a luxury apartment, the military was the military.
"Lieutenant Versio," Miko's voice, warm with surprise and pleasure. "Look what I found."
He stood in the doorway, brandishing what looked like an old bottle of wine.
"Right on the bedside table."
Aiden glanced at her own nightstand and noticed a single, elegant, fluted glass. She picked it up and went into the communal room. The others had found their own glasses.
"I didn't know your father had it in him," Gideon said casually, ducking into the food prep area and rummaging about for something with which to open the bottle.
Del bore the celebratory beverage to the main table.
"I need to say something to Gideon later," Aiden thought,
but for now she simply corrected him.
"The Admiral," she said. "He's our commanding officer from this point on. We need to refer to him as such."
"That must be difficult since you're his daughter," Sen said,
stepping up to the table and setting her glass down.
"I don't find it difficult at all," Aiden said stiffly.
Both my parents served the Empire, and Admiral Versio ran a military household. He's my father, yes, but he's the Admiral.
Even in private, the Versios use their titles,
Gideon said, giving Aiden an apologetic look as he added, and Admiral Versio is quite right to do so. Sorry.
Gideon emerged with the opener and handed it to Del. As he prepared to open the bottle, Aiden noticed for the first time what type it was.
Alderaanian wine. Tanneray, to be precise. As always, Aiden found herself wishing that the rebels hadn't made the destruction of Alderaan so necessary. The Death Star had destroyed an entire planet. Yes, it had been a rebel hotbed, a positive nest of treason. But surely not everyone who had died had hated the Empire. The destruction of the Death Star hit closer to home as she had lost people she knew. But at least there had been no civilians on it, no children. The child of a rebel may be a child yet, but we must look to the future. It will grow up to be an enemy, and our enemies must be destroyed. Words from her father, spoken to her long before she had heard of a Death Star. And there was truth in them.
Sen, who always seemed to be studying everyone, followed Aiden's gaze.
Oh my, she said. Hang on, Commander Miko, we might want to sell that bottle and make a small fortune.
Gideon glanced at the bottle Del was holding. He let out a low, soft whistle.
Maybe not so small a fortune.
Then he grinned.
No, go ahead, Commander. Let's celebrate the birth of Inferno Squad with a bottle of rebel tears.
The carbonation created a loud pop, and the glorious teal liquid bubbled out rapidly, overflowing and creating a mess before Hask grabbed one of the glasses to catch it. And then the glass, too, overflowed. And everyone laughed. The tension eased. It was just a bottle of wine. Miko handed out sticky, wet glasses to everyone. He had poured because the bottle was in the room he'd just happened to select, but now he paused. The leader of this nascent squad ought to be the one to make the toast. But there was no leader. Not yet. You've done neither me nor the team favors, Admiral, Aiden thought. If this little contest her father had devised had been meant to unify them, it would end up doing the opposite. Team members shouldn't be competing against each other like dogs for scraps. The suddenly awkward pause stretched on for a moment. Then Aiden stepped into the breach.
Well, we probably shouldn't drink too much of this since we've all got homework to do, she said,
and that got another small laugh. Apparently, she was not the only one who felt that this assignment smacked of Academy classroom homework.
But we should make a toast, at least. Here's to a successful first mission, and many more thereafter.
Hear, hear, Miko said, and clinked his glass against hers. Their eyes met, and she gave him a slight nod, indicating he could make a toast as well.
Well, I toast Admiral Versio for having the good sense to select all of us for the squad.
More clinks of the delicate stemware. Then Miko turned expectantly to Sen, who stood next to him. She rattled off something in a guttural, deep-pitched language punctuated by the sound of her clacking her teeth together. They all looked at her warily. Like most Imperials with a good education, Aiden herself knew two or three of the more common languages in addition to basic. But this was nothing she recognized. Sen suddenly grinned. She looked about 12 years old.
That's a traditional toast of the Ahak Mahar. It means, may we rend the flesh of our enemies and drink their blood as we do this liquid before us.
There was a long pause while they stared at her, and her grin widened impishly.
Damned if that isn't the best toast I've ever heard, Gideon said. I'm gonna make you teach it to me, Sen.
I'll try, she said. But it's difficult to pronounce Ahak Mahar if you don't have tusks.
Then I'll just have to do my best, he said, giving her one of his charming smiles.
He lifted his own glass and looked around.
That's a hard act to follow. So I'll keep my toast simple. Here's to Inferno Squad. May we live up to our name.
They all drank. The liquid's bubbles tingled against Aiden's tongue, sweet and playful. She didn't drink much, as she never drank on duty, and she was on duty most of the time. When she wasn't, she was exercising or sleeping or studying, doing everything to be even better at tasks she had usually already mastered.
"If you don't hone your edge, you'll lose it," her father had warned.
She looked at her new teammates. Del Mico and Sen Morana, the two outsiders, were relaxing and chatting easily, already smoothed by the alcohol. Gideon Hask, child of impeccable heritage, looked as though he had been born with a glass of fine wine in his hand.
"Let them chat and laugh and bond," Aiden thought to herself. "Let them have a second glass."
She understood her father well enough to know that nothing he did was accidental or incidental. The room, the view, the alcohol, the game of having one of the four finding the bottle in a room they had selected entirely at random. He had chosen these things as carefully as he had chosen the four team members. Versio knew his daughter as well as she knew him, and he knew she'd be hungering for the leadership position. She'd let herself be distracted by her own emotions, but now she'd figured it out. Oh, this was a test, all right. But not about who had the best mission plan of attack, which, I'd mused, her father had likely already drawn up himself. No. The test was here, was now, to see who would be alert, observant, and on task even when there were new people to get to know, comfortable surroundings, and good food and beverage. So Aiden set down the half-full glass of the expensive and now exceedingly rare vintage and went to order something to eat. It was going to be a long night, and Aiden knew she needed to be sharp and she needed to learn. Her father had put together a good team, and she would use them to her advantage. When she finally sent her mission plan off to her father and placed the data pad down on the bedside table, Aiden was mentally exhausted but too keyed up to sleep. Even when she turned out the lights with the word and pulled the covers over her, the overly stimulating colored illumination from Coruscant traffic trickled into the room just as she had ruefully anticipated earlier. Aiden had trained herself to fall asleep quickly, easily, and soundly, almost on command, waking alert and attentive. But tonight, she found sleep elusive. There was a knot in her stomach that was all too familiar. One she'd hitherto managed to chase away with adrenaline rushes and intense duty shifts. Her father had often ignored her throughout her career, but now his eyes were on her. And Aiden Versio would not, could not, fail. Aiden had set the room's controls to wake her early with gradual natural light, but before the illumination had gotten to level 3 of 10, the smell of calf had teased her fully awake. As much as she longed to immediately grab a cup, she stepped into the shower, then dressed in her uniform before heading to the kitchen. Miko was there, sitting at the shiny black table, sipping at a cup and thumbing through his data pad. He, too, was already dressed for the meeting that wasn't for another 2 hours. He smiled a greeting and nodded toward the pot.
"Good morning, Lieutenant," he said. "Please, help yourself."
"Thanks." She returned to the table with a cup of calf and a slice of buttered kuahnut bread and sat down with her own data pad, reviewing what she'd sent her father. He'd expect her to defend her plan.
"I'm betting on you or Hask," Miko said conversationally.
Surprised, Aiden turned to him. "What makes you say that? You've got several years of experience over both of us." He mock grimaced.
"Hey, come on, I'm only 10 years older than you."
"Oh, that's several," Aiden said, then added more seriously. "And you've seen a lot more combat than I have."
Del sobered at her words. "That's true. But a leader needs to be more than someone who knows how to fire a blaster."
Aiden turned fully in her seat to regard him, holding the warm mug in her hands.
"You received commendations for courage under fire, and you were chief engineer of a star destroyer," she said. "You made a lot of important decisions."
He shrugged.
"I'm good at what I do, but that doesn't mean I should be leading this squad."
"I understand that, and it doesn't bother me." Aiden wanted to argue with him. She'd listened last night as he'd spoken, and watched his previous reticence evaporate once he began discussing technical approaches to problem-solving, compared notes on expanding the limits of what everyone thought droids were capable of doing, and persuasively argued how to minimize casualties. Del Mico knew his field inside and out and how to weaponize it. A leader needed to know what Del knew, and had the circumstances been different, she realized, she might have accepted the choice of him as a leader. He wasn't the attention-seizing, sharp-tongued individual that Iden was used to seeing in positions of command. There was something about him that she trusted already. But she also suspected that he was right. And the circumstances were what they were. Her father was commanding this squad, and Iden could not bear to see anyone else in the position. "Well," she said uncomfortably, "we'll just have to see." "No offense, Mico," Gideon said as he entered the kitchen. "And I admit droids are damn handy, but they are no substitute for a living being when life and death decisions have to be made. And which of you do I have to thank for having calf ready?" "That would be Mico," Iden said. Gideon threw the older man a bright grin and raised his steaming cup. "See? Life and death decisions." "I've seen Gideon before calf a time or two, and he's right," Iden said. "Life and death." Mico smiled, taking no offense at anything that was being said, and her opinion went up another notch. He appeared to be one of those rare creatures, a calm, high-ranking Imperial officer with a sense of humor and little ego. It was enormously refreshing. In a few moments, they were joined by Sen. She would have passed any surprise inspection. Not a single strand of her short black hair was out of place. Her white jacket was spotless, and the crease in her trousers was almost sharp enough to cut. Her boots were polished to nearly a mirror sheen. "Good morning," she said politely. While they were all in their uniforms, there was something about Sen Morana's perfection that undid Miko's easy banter and the unifying smell of calf. Without even bringing up the subject, Morana had just reminded the other three members of Inferno Squad how very important what happened later that morning would be. Iden's spine straightened, and, almost like a droid, she felt herself shut down as she gave the Navint officer a polite greeting and let her eyes focus again on her report. There was no more chit-chat. They broke their fast in silence, lost in their own thoughts. The four stood rigidly at attention in Admiral Versio's office as he entered precisely at 0900. "At ease and take your seats," he instructed. They obeyed. Iden folded her hands in front of her and lifted her gaze to her father's face, waiting patiently as she had done for the last 2 decades. And, as he had done for the last 2 decades, Garrick Versio got right down to business. "Your reports confirm my opinion that I chose wisely in selecting each of you. You also confirmed my suspicions as to how each of you would respond. Del Mico," the engineer regarded his commanding officer steadily, "your report relied heavily on the usage of droids and innovative technology. Sen Morana, yours on your own intelligence-backed knowledge of the situation. Gideon Hask, your straightforwardness is both simple and effective." Iden's heart rate surged with both dread and anticipation. Her plan was sound. It would work. He had to select it. She tightened her fingers, hoping no one would notice. "Everyone else prepared an excellent main course. You, Iden Versio, you gave us a meal." Iden didn't let her gaze waver as he continued. She didn't dare make an assumption either way. "You took a bit of this, a dollop of that." "Relax, Iden, he does this all the time," she reminded herself. Versio was fond of uttering opinions in a certain tone of voice that conveyed irritation and admiration both. She was never sure which side of the line he'd come down on. "Some would call that good, some would not. In the end, none of you is offering to set a table. If you burn a roast, you eat something else. But here, you're performing a complex mission. And if you perform it badly,
Someone might well die. You all might well die.
He looked at them each in turn.
There is no single right plan. There is no foolproof recipe of success. There is only the best chance of success. And Lieutenant Versio's option is, I think, the one that offers that best chance. So for now, for this mission, she will be the leader of the squad.
He turned to his daughter and indicated the wall to the left. All the screens were currently blank.
Lieutenant, you have the floor.
Aiden could barely believe it. Faint as the praise had been, obvious as he had made his uncertainty, and laced with qualifiers as it was, Versio had named his daughter as leader of Inferno Squad. Aiden rose, straightened her jacket, and strode to the wall screens. She entered a code and turned to her team. Her team.
I've sent my proposal to each of your data pads. Call it up and follow along with me. This is what we're going to do.